AZ, I got a DM from my buddy from high school, Dovey. He said, tell Hazy B to stop being one more month guy.
So yeah, one more month guy. I know I've been doing that for a long time. I get it. I'm trying to stay positive. So that's really all it comes down to. I'm just lying to myself to make sure that I'm in a position where I got something to look forward to. That's all it comes down to.
What does he want? What does he want us to be like? Okay, January 2022.
He never mentioned your name. He only mentioned one guy. He said, you want me to read it to you? I'll read it to you
Go ahead.
Okay, here it is from Dovey. Hayes is the one more month guy. That's why we are where we are. Because people think it's only a month. It was only 2 weeks. Oh, I can't read that part. It's nice to see you guys address how stupid these lockdowns have become.
Okay.
But he said there was some language in there that really threw off my train of reading. But you got to stop being one more month guy.
Well, okay, I'll just stop making a call. Yeah, I'm just, you know, it's a figure of speech, basically trying to be positive and hoping it into existence, I guess is what I'm saying. But
dude, if we don't start golfing soon, when my shoulder's ready to rock, I'm walking on some. I'm going to Tam O'Shanter and I'm with jean shorts and nobody
will
know.
Well, did you see this? Kristen, who's a fan of the show, works at TSN, friend of ours. She's driving around. I can't figure out where she is. It looks
dude, this poor bastard is chipping golf balls into an outdoor hockey net, like wire.
It's incredible. This
it's
guy,
the saddest thing I've ever
really
seen in my life.
He's got a 60-degree wedge, and he's just hitting like a little punch shot up against the boards of a rink outdoors. It looks like it may be somewhere in North Toronto, and that's concerning. That's concerning that that's kind of what we're resorting to here. But it is what it is. And maybe what he's trying to do is find a way to get on tour so he could take advantage of this, what are they calling it, bonus pool, the $40 million bonus pool that will be established by the PGA Tour, I believe, starting next season, where the top 10 members of tour that move the needle the most, based on algorithms, based on play to an extent, will be awarded $40 million dispersed among the top 10, and whoever is listed at number one will make $8 million. So this is the criteria. Their position on the season-ending FedEx Cup points list, okay, their popularity in Google search, their Nielsen brand exposure rating, which places a value on the exposure a player delivers to sponsors, though the minutes they are featured on broadcasts, their Q rating, which measures the familiarity and appeal of a player's brand, their MVP index rating, which calibrates the value of an engagement a player drives across social and digital channels, their meltwater mentions, or the frequency with which a player generates coverage across a range of media platforms. So basically, if you're a Kardashian and you can get on tour, you're going to make cash.
But because, dude, he's basically giving – if this continues, that's like playing the FedEx Cup and giving the rest of the – giving eight guys – their custom clubs and giving the rest of the field one club to play golf with and try to play for the Fed. The same guys are going to get it every year. It's going to be Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau. I mean,
but
like
those are the guys that move the needle. Like, I don't,
why the hell do they need $40 million?
They don't. But my understanding is what likely pushed this into existence is there's money coming in from overseas, and I read it this morning, a premier golf league, a proposed splinter tour funded by the Saudi Arabian regime.
So they want to keep them away from that.
Basically, because you've noticed, man, there's a lot of guys playing overseas, a lot of guys showing up, and what they get paid just to show up. Yeah, that's basically right. What it comes down to. It doesn't matter if you make the cut. Doesn't matter how you play. Here's $2 million cash for you to show up. So what the tour is responding with is, we got to keep the boys around. You know, we got to keep them showing up at the Travelers.
Stuff in their pockets.
And the Rocket Mortgage, exactly. And we got to make sure that they keep their eyes on the PGA Tour. And it all comes down to money, and it all comes down to the needle movers.
Who moves the needle? I agree.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily. Like, let's be honest. If you have a tour event where none of the big boys are in it, it's largely irrelevant unless you're a diehard golf fan. Mm-hmm. Like, look what happened at Pebble Beach a couple months ago, where Daniel Berger ended up winning that tournament. Spieth was in it. I think Cantlay was in it. But, like, no one was there. No one. DeChambeau wasn't there. Johnson wasn't there. Rory wasn't there. Thomas. Like, none of the big boys were there, and it just had no vibe to it.
It had nothing. For Pebble Beach, dude, that tournament is usually the most dialed in of any.
Right.
And it was Danny Berger with his tight pants. That's gorgeous Adidas pants, though.
They are spectacular pants. I happen to own a pair, and I look forward to breaking them out at some point in 2022. Because I can no longer say a month from now, thanks to Dovey or whatever that guy's name is.
Don't ever say any, like, that's right. It's Dovey.
Shout out to Dovey.
Yes.
Dovey. Shout out to Dovey.
But your reaction was that Harry Higgs could not possibly make his way into this. I think Harry Higgs could benefit from this. The goofier you are, the bigger character you are, the better chance you have to be an algorithm fan.
He's going to open up his laptop and put a Titleist 1 on, hit send and Google Harry Higgs and attach it to the ceiling so all night someone is Googling Harry Higgs. That's the only shot he's got.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Try to beat the system if you can. I mean,
so he's going to dial up 20 of his friends and say, just keep Googling Harry Higgs, see what happens.
I think it's clearly got to be more than that. What I would say is, could you imagine if this was around when Tiger was in his prime? Like, just hand him $8 million cash every year to start the year.
Exactly.
Like, he'd be number one every year for
he'd probably still be number one. It's the same thing right now. Golf people are not going online and looking up Daniel Berger. They're just not doing that. I want to see Dustin Johnson's chipping game. I want to see him hit bombs. I want to see Rory McIlroy rip a three wood. They are not Googling any such thing. Like, the casual guy that just watches on the weekends, it doesn't care if Danny Berger does anything.
No, you're probably right. But there's going to be, I think, you know, this is going to boost some egos and deflate some egos.
Right.
Because there's some guys who are legitimate. Like, Patrick Reed's not going to – he might get in here because of hate searches.
Dude, he's going to start cheating more because people will look it up.
I don't know if that will necessarily happen.
Dude, I swear he'll be like, I'm going to fluff this thing in the rough right now or make it look like I did. So people search this all day long, and guess what? I'm showing up in the search.
I'm curious to see how that works.
Somebody wrote to us and said Harry Higgs is going to release a sex tape.
Like, dude, guaranteed $8 million cash. If Harry Higgs does that, it's an $8 million cash.
You know what I mean?
Guaranteed,
like,
from the tour.
They might be outrageous to be, but that talks to the personality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like Harry Higgs. I like seeing him on tour. I like to see what his getup is, how much chest hair he's showing.
There's got to be the rest of the field, which generally I do not care about the rest of the field, because it's all about all this stuff that we talk about. It's all about the big dogs that get anything accomplished in the sporting world. But there's got to be some other way to factor in some guys that are quality players. Like, Colin Morikawa is a hell of a player, but he is not going to be involved in this whatsoever.
He's exactly who I was just thinking of. Exactly.
He's an unbelievable talent. He's kind of unassuming. He's very quiet. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have anything flash and dash. And he's one of the top players in the world, and he will not sniff this money. Sniff.
No, you're right. Like, I'm not sure. Like, Morikawa is a perfect example of a guy. Like, Cantlay is another example. Top 10 guy. There's nothing
not even
to him.
Close. No.
No personality, no anything. No. He just goes out and plays. I wonder about a guy like John Rahm, who's a bit of a hothead. I think he's becoming a household name, but I don't know. Will he be? But this is why the piece referenced a guy like Ricky Fowler. Fowler hasn't won a tournament in years. He doesn't even make cuts.
Dude, he can't break par right now, but he wears orange stuff, and people love it.
Yeah,
and
good-looking guy on every single commercial. So
Nick Faldo said it best about him. It's like, he's in danger of missing the cut at the Augusta. And Nick Faldo tweeted out, he's like, maybe he can go make 7 more commercials now.
Which he probably will.
Which he probably did.
Yeah, he probably did. Anyway, Eddie Olchuk, later in the hour, with the Derby right around the corner, we need his Derby pick. Knowing Eddie, he'll give us about 15 different horses. And we'll have to find a way to pin them down on one or two that we could put some cash down on. We'll get back into the NHL, the Leafs back in action tonight. But confirm or deny, it is brought to you by our friends at Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy F-Sport credits of up to $3,000 and a loyalty rate reduction of up to 2%. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for details.
I can neither confirm or deny that this is in fact the signal.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
Well, I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, confirm or deny. We know the way this works. We make a statement. We go around the table. Do we confirm that it will happen, or do we deny that it will happen?
Right.
Starting with a Maple Leaf topic. With Zach Hyman out, Nick Foligno will get a lengthy look on Austin Matthews' wing. Confirm
absolutely,
or deny?
Confirm. Absolutely confirm it. Like, this guy is a really good player. I think people have this idea of Nick Foligno, if they haven't really paid much attention, which they probably haven't to Columbus, that he's just this, like, gritty guy that hits and runs around. Like, this guy's a real good player, and he could be a real good compliment on that line. And if he gets the audition and it's just unbelievable and you can't break it up, why would you separate them? And I think he'll be a great fit.
I'm confirming it, too. I just think they need to get him top 6 minutes and be comfortable. So if that's Hyman's spot or if it's Tavares and Nylander, like, I think it's going to be Hyman's spot with Matthews and Marner. But I think there'll be some Tavares and Nylander sprinkled in there as well. And just because I think that's where he will eventually land, in that second left wing spot. If Hyman's going to go back up. And at the end of the day, if one of the guys on a, if you think Joe can give you some minutes, or, you know, Galchenyuk guy,
whatever,
like,
yep,
somebody like that, then you sprinkle that in and put Hyman down on that third line. But ultimately, I if you can develop some chemistry, I think Foligno has to play in your top six, and I would give him a look with Matthews and Marner, but I'd like to see him as a mainstay, as that second,
yeah,
call that second line.
I'm conflicted on this because of that statement. I ultimately, you're building towards game one. That would be
right,
the timeline with Zach Hyman. I need you at 100% for game one. Don't be a hero and come back in 2 weeks to prove you're an Iron Man if
right,
you're not back to 100%. And if I believe, if I'm Sheldon Keefe, and I believe Foligno is playing with Tavares and Nylander game one, then play him with Tavares and Nylander. But with all that said, you brought up the name Joe Thornton. Remember where he started the year? With
yes,
Matthews and Marner. Why was that? Wanted to integrate him into the room. Wanted to make sure he felt good about himself. And
right,
I think there's likely, that's likely going to be the case here with Nick Foligno. Give him a chance with the two big boys that run the show and say, find your way. And then he's a vet. He's played 1,000 games in the league. He can maneuver around, right? The last three or four games, put him back with Tavares and Nylander or whatever, or sprinkle him around. But I'll confirm it. I think he'll get a taste more than that with Matthews and Marner. Confirm or deny, one of Patrick Marleau or Joe Thornton will be playing in the NHL next season.
Confirm.
No, that's – what? No.
I'm confirming.
Come on. Dude, it's deny. It's not even a close call. They both will not be playing in the league next year.
Ditka. Go ahead, Noodles.
I think Marleau plays another year with San Jose.
There's no way in hell they'll say come back for more. They got to say, you got Gordie Howe's record. Now that's enough. It's enough.
I
make 700 grand. And you know what? He's still, like, don't look at the player and how old he is. Like, his production for 700 grand. Like, Jason's, he hasn't had Jason Spezza's year, but Jason Spezza at 700 grand is an unbelievable value contract.
Mm-hmm. He does a little bit more than what Patrick Marleau's doing right now.
I understand.
I just
that,
think there's a timeline for
grand,
every. That's right, but you can also pay. It's like, just like the standard thing. If you value his voice in the room enough, then go ahead and pay it to him. But I just think every great thing has to come to an end. And I don't want to be a downer here, but my God.
No,
Enough's enough.
I'm going to confirm it because we have both guys. I think you're missing the boat here on Thornton a little bit. Listen to what he said yesterday. Look what he wants to play, man. He wants to play.
Dude, there's a lot of stuff I want to do too,
of
Brian.
Of course, but he's still going, and he's good guy Joe Thornton is my point. Is if the Leafs saw some value in it, I could picture Ottawa next year saying, we're not going to do anything anyway. Bring in good guy Joe. Bring him in. He'll play 50 games, be a great guy for them. If he's willing to do it, that's the difference. You want to be on a cup contender? I can't guarantee you that. I can't guarantee you the Leafs will come calling, Washington, Vegas. But
what is that saying about your team, the Ottawa Senators, to your little fantasy world here of them bringing in Joe Thornton? What is that saying about your team if you're trying to – Ottawa's been pretty good the second half of the season. I don't think anybody can deny that. You're going to try to take even bigger steps next year. You're not just saying, oh, yeah, we got to bring a good guy. Like, no. No.
Yeah, I don't see a fit in Ottawa, but I don't disagree with your point. But here's the thing, that Joe Thornton, down the stretch here, and certainly if he has a good playoffs, will be able to play more. If he looks like if the season ended today, I don't think he gets a deal, personally, because I think there's been nights where he looks 41.
Well, he is 41. I mean, there's no
disputing that. I understand
that.
I'm not being disrespectful.
No, it's not going to get better necessarily.
All I think the Toronto Maple Leafs, all they've cared about is two things with Joe Thornton. His leadership, his persona, all of that stuff that comes with Joe Thornton. And then secondly, the playoffs. So keep him, you know, they dangle the carrot early on. They realize, hey, that's not going to work for 19 to 25 minutes a night with the two guys up on the top line. You're better suited on the fourth line, in and out of the lineup.
No, I get it.
But my point is if he plays well in the playoffs and puts up some numbers, he gets himself another deal.
Right.
What has become clear here is
neither guy wants to retire. That's what's clear to me. That is a difference. There are other guys who are like, I'm done. I don't want to keep doing this.
Right.
I don't get the impression like Thornton and or Marlowe. Marlowe's crying last night saying he loves it so much. I think he'd play for free. I think Thornton would play for free. That is a dramatical difference over other guys who are like, I don't want to do this anymore. So if they want to do it at 700 grand, you need one of them to find 31 teams, 32 in Seattle.
Agreed.
That's what it comes down to. Confirm or deny, Steph Curry will win the MVP this season.
I'm a big believer in momentum at the end of a season to kind of push things over the edge, much like the hockey version of Taylor Hall a few years back. I'm going to confirm this one, Hazy B. He's leading off SportsCenter every night in the States. It's, you know, he's got everybody talking about Steph Curry. Again, I'm confirming it.
I'm going to deny it because LeBron is going to go on a PR campaign like you've never seen.
When's the last time you've seen LeBron?
He's working his way back.
I'm telling you, he's working his way back.
I don't care who you are, man. You can't miss that much time and expect LeBron included. You're not doing it. He's not doing it.
I feel like there's a PR camp. You know LeBron hates it when other people get the light shined on.
Oh, he did it last year. Be honest. He was up on his pulpit. He was disappointed. How dare you vote for anyone else but me?
Right.
But I agree with O in terms of LeBron being out. Now James Harden, it just came out. He's had another setback. For me, it's essentially a two-man race. I think Jokic is still in the one chair right now. Embiid's had his injuries. I think that takes him out. I think with the way Steph Curry's playing, he's going to benefit from the play-in as well. If his team missed the playoffs, I don't think he'd get it. But they're going to make it as a play-in team. And as a result, with him putting up historical numbers, it's a narrative-driven award. I'm going to confirm it right now. What he's doing is truly, truly incredible. Final one here, confirm or deny. At least one of these things will happen, at least one. The Yankees will miss the playoffs or the Red Sox will make the playoffs.
Ooh.
One of them has to happen?
Yep.
I can neither confirm or deny.
That's exactly what's going on here.
I'm confirming one of those things will happen.
Yep. I am confirming as well.
And you know what? Right now, it might look like the Red Sox might make the playoffs, which I never would have thought I would have picked at this particular juncture of the season.
Yep. No, you're right. I'm going to confirm it because of what you just – I mean,
the
American League
and
East –
And, dude, I think the Orioles, the first series, went into Boston and beat the piss
Swept
out
them.
Of the Red – Yeah. And it's like, okay, what do we got going here, Red Sox? Then all of a sudden, they just snapped out of it and started playing.
I think the Yankees are going to battle back and make this work. It's 162 games. They're not in a good place right now. It's early. The bats will come alive.
Boone's on the hot seat.
He is on the hot seat. A
couple more losses, he'll be gone.
He got the vote of confidence from Cashman, which I'm not sure that's a positive.
No.
But that's the nature of that market in New York. But I think the Yankees will find a way to figure this out, likely. But I'm leaning towards the Sox being at least maybe a wild card team anyway. So I will confirm it as well. We'll see. The Jays are in Boston tonight, taking on the Red Sox. And we'll get to that later in the hour. Get you more of an update here on this James Harden injury. He is out indefinitely. Hamstring setback.
Oh, boy.
So
what's the deal with the catfish? Let's get into it.
Okay, we got Eddie O coming up. We will get to the catfish because Noodles, you may know as much as I do. I've been trying to collect information on it.
I know.
It's goofy.
It is, but that's what worries me, catfish.
You guys can explain it to me, and I will be the judge on how stupid
I don't know if we really know what happened here, though. Yeah. That's the problem. We're talking about a catfish. Is it a catfish?
Dude, you can't get catfished in 2021. You just say, FaceTime me. I want to see what's up.
Well,
and what, some guy's going to sit backwards with a wig? Like, what?
Believe me, man. It sounds... I hear what you're saying, but people still get duped, and that appears to have what's happened here. Confirm or Deny was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy F-Sport credits of up to $3,000 and a loyalty rate reduction of up to 2%. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. Catfishing, Eddie Olchuk, the ponies. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Eddie Olchuk coming up from NBC. I have to believe he'll be at the Kentucky Derby, which is just over week and a half away. He's their go-to capper, man. No one knows more about the ponies than Eddie Olchuk. And we'll find out, and we'll go right to the source. Eddie will join us here in a moment. We'll talk some hockey with him, but more importantly this time of year, we need to know, you know, who are we looking at here? Is it Triple Crown? Potential option? Is there a pony that we should have our eyes on? Is there some long shot underdog that maybe we could make some real scratch on? These are the things that Eddie Olchuk brings to the table.
Didn't he call it last year? Like I'm pretty sure
I can't
he
remember.
Like, told
I
us
can't
on
remember.
The show. And he was like, keep an eye on this one and,
oh,
and
yeah.
that one. Like,
we got to see if he can handicap the potential of me getting over the bar pole vaulting.
Oh,
how do
wow,
you
yeah.
like? How do you wager on that?
Yeah, we need a line on that for sure. Like, have to have a line. All right, here he is. Let's go right to the source. Longtime NHLer, former Leaf from NBC. Here's our buddy Eddie Olchuk. How you doing, Eddie?
Hey guys, how high is that bar? I could set the line right now if you want me.
Oh. Standard Olympic height. I mean, how high is that?
Are you using a trampoline or anything, old dog?
No, we're going to do it by the book.
I'll set it right now. I'll set it right now at 1,000 to 1. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not sure that's big enough, man. This is a three-legged horse trying to win the Derby. I don't think it's possible.
Hey, Brian, you know, there are some of us that don't mind being a three-legged horse. You know what I'm talking about? I am a gelding, just for the record.
You referenced gelding last time you were on, and the three of us, we had no idea what you were talking about.
We all just nodded at our heads.
We're
like, yeah, yeah.
We're like, we love geldings, man. Yeah. They're the best.
Yeah, we did some Google searching.
They don't give you $50,000 every time you head to the stud barn, I'll tell you that.
That's
when
exactly
you're a gelding.
Right.
When you're a gelding, you're in there before just kind of prepping everything, and then here comes the stallion right behind. So
that's a totally different gig. Yeah, that's not a gig we want to be familiar with necessarily, but I mean, we're getting close. Are you going to be at the Derby? How's this working out, Eddie?
Yeah. I'll be out there next week. We got the big show on NBC and NBCSN, and we'll have a 5-hour show on Friday, which is the Phillies run for the Lilies on that day, and then the first Saturday in May happens to be May 1st this year, and we'll be there for the Kentucky Derby on NBC. So we have a 7-hour show on that day. So it'll be full bore, and looking forward to hopefully picking a few winners, and just looking forward to getting back in the, you know, whatever normalcy is going to be moving forward. Last year the Derby was in September, obviously because of the pandemic, but just looking forward to getting down there, and should have one hell of a race. It looks like it's going to be real competitive. You could probably go 5 or 6 deep right now. Post position draws on Tuesday, so should be a lot of fun.
In terms of a Triple Crown, I know we ask you this every year.
And, yeah.
You know, is there a horse that if he gets the right positioning and he's healthy and he gets through all three races, you think that's possible with this year or what?
No, I don't think so. I don't. No, I think the horse that looked like he was going to be the goods was Life Is Good, a horse trained by Bob Baffert, who everybody should know that name when it comes to horse racing.
We
and
love
like,
him.
Triple Crown.
We love Bobby.
I think he would have been one that looked like he had the complete package. Speed, bred the long, run a long way, the team behind him, He seemed to be the one, but he got banged up. He's on a long-term injury list right now, but he is going to race again, which is great, and we'll see what he does at the end of this year. But it's, you know, we could have three different winners. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And then also, too, you got to play into what's the weather going to be. You know, I mean, we've had some really interesting derbies over the course of the last couple of years where, you know, I think we got 2.5 or 3 inches of rain a couple of years ago. It's the most rain on any derby in the history of the Kentucky Derby. So that all plays into it. But, Brian, I don't think so. I don't think this is a year where, you know, there's a super horse. Now, some people may argue, look, at it may be, you know, an above-average crop or an above-average field moving forward. But, you know, could somebody that's, you know, in the middle of the road there all of a sudden, you know, catch lightning in a bottle for 6 weeks and go on a run? Yeah, that's possible, but I would say it's highly unlikely.
Eddie, what are you hearing about crowd size and how many people are going to be kind of on site? And, you know, I mean, obviously we're in a pandemic, but different states, different rules, different levels of vaccination. You know, is there a hard rule there, or is it kind of they're going to kind of let it play out as it approaches?
Yeah, I mean, we're hearing, just to paint a picture, I mean, for the Kentucky Derby, I mean, we've had crowds anywhere between 150 and 170,000 over the course of the last, I think, 7 or 8 years. So it sounds like it's going to be 25%. Don't, you know, lock me in at that, but it sounds like it's going to be a pretty healthy crowd. Now, I mean, if nobody's ever been to a racetrack, I mean, a racetrack sits on 400 some acres. So, I mean, there's lots of room. There, you have the infield at Churchill Downs. You have 5 levels of the grandstand. I mean, and so 40,000 people at Churchill Downs, you know, there's still a lot of room to maneuver. But as we know, it is wagering and it is a few cocktails flowing. I don't know what the masks will be used for, but I would imagine that you'll see some crazy stuff coming out of Louisville. But hopefully everybody is smart and safe and does the right things. But chances are, with that many people enjoying themselves, I'm sure people are going to let their guard down a little bit. But so that seems to be the number, but that could certainly change on a, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Chatting with Eddie Olchuk, what's it like watching Patrick Marleau play, considering you were still in the league, I believe, for 4 years when he got in as a rookie? So you would have played against him, and he's still cooking and jumping, for that matter.
Yeah, I think I played against him in his eighth game of his NHL career, which really is a long time ago. I mean, you know, Jamie and old dog there know exactly. I mean, to be able to play this long in the league and the longevity, and look, he played, you know, look, at a real high level for a long period of time. I mean, I guess you could argue and debate what it's been like here maybe the last 3 or 4 years for him on an offensive level, but that's really not what we're talking about. But look, you need a little bit of luck. You got to obviously love the game, and I think any time that you can, take down a record that Gordie Howe has, you're doing something right. So it's pretty amazing, considering, everywhere he's been here the last couple of years, and then eventually going back to San Jose, which I think everybody certainly thinks of him as a San Jose Shark. And, you know, with all the talk of the Great Eight, only 164 goals away from the great one, you know, you sit there and wonder, like, wow, like, you know, how many more years will he play? How many more years does he have to play to even come within, you know, an arm's reach? And think about the excitement of that. I mean, I'll be honest, like, I mean, once you started hearing about how many games Patty Marleau had played, you know, I don't think that was, you know, the longevity aspect of it, in all due respect, is like, okay, now he's approaching, you know, Gordie Howe. But I think everybody's been kind of zeroing in on the great one, is can anybody come close? And it certainly looks like the Great Eight is certainly going to be approaching that number. Now, whether or not he can stay healthy and continue to get 35 or 40 goals over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, time will tell. But quite an accomplishment for both guys, but Patty Marleau on top. And I would just say this, guys, I don't know how you guys feel, but you know, I think with the way the game is now and the way that it's played, I look at, do I think that there'll be somebody that takes down Patty Marleau's games played record? I do. I just do, because I'm not saying it's easier to play in the National Hockey League now, but it's just a much different type of game. The players are in much better shape than, you know, the players of my era. And it's a different game. I mean, it's just a different game. There's not as much clutching and grabbing, hooking and holding, and you know, I mean, guys get hurt, but I just think it's the path to that, to me, might be a little easier now than maybe it was, you know, some, you know, 15 or 20 years ago.
Ed, so we're just playing a stupid game on our show, which is basically every other segment, which we don't have you on. And one of the comments was, Marlowe or Thornton and Thornton will be in the league next year. What would you say to that? I said, no way.
Yeah, I would probably. I don't know about Patty Marlowe. I would say Jumbo probably would have a better chance of playing than Patrick Marlowe. That's just, you know, my opinion. You know, salary cap certainly plays into it. I mean, these guys aren't playing for obviously a lot of money like they were a handful of years ago. But I would say better chance that Jumbo's playing than both of them.
Yeah, I mean they're both like you pointed out going to be at about $700,000 and Jumbo, you know, we've been watching him up close and personal this year, you know, he's holding on and he's still got the energy though, he's still got the passion for it, which is really truly incredible. He was asked about it yesterday, the idea of him taking a day or two off, and he said absolutely not. You know, he wants to go every night. And now Hyman's injured, Mikheyev's going to be out for a game or two here.
Yeah.
I think Thornton's looking at this opportunity, knowing that Foligno's right around the corner, and I'd be curious to get your take on that deal. Thinking I can make a mark here, and you know there's a lot of depth, a lot of talent here in Toronto, and only 12 guys can go for game one.
Yeah, I think the realization and going to Toronto, knowing that not being a spot player but a utility player, where you know maybe he does have to eat up some minutes on the fourth line, maybe he has to go out there on a second power play unit, or they need a big face off or whatever it is, and I think the understanding and look at role players, and that's what he is now, right? I mean, everybody has a role, but a role player has to do two things, accept and execute. And a guy like Jumbo certainly, you know, wanted to do that by coming to Toronto and showing that. But, you know, I could feel for the guy sitting there, and, I don't want a couple of days off. Not necessarily because somebody's going to come in and, you know, the old Wally Pipp type of thing, but it's it's hard to get the motor running again, right? Like when a guy's feeling good and he's back, and obviously he had the rib issue, and you know he's not playing as much as he did. But if you all of a sudden you go out of lineup, I mean, it's almost like you're starting from scratch again. So when you are playing, you're engaged, you're out there in certain situations, and then you go out for a couple of games. I mean, it's not easy. Even for guys that are in the greatest shape, I mean, it takes a little bit of time. And a guy like Jumbo doesn't want to do that. And I know we're pressed for time, but I did want to make a comment about. Obviously, that great goal by Connor McDavid last night, and the one thing that I noticed about that goal, when he went almost coast to coast, is the one thing. And O-Dog, you can relate to this because you were a great goal scorer. After he split the defense, he never stick handled once, and he kept that puck out on his blade. And Allen did not know when he was going to shoot the puck. Like when players are stick handling. And the puck is in front of him. And, Jamie, you know this being a goaltender. Right. Like, when the puck is in front of a guy and he's stick handling, he can't shoot the puck from there. Like, in order to shoot the puck, like, he's got to bring it to one side or the other. Like, you know that. So, I use the terminology of keeping the goaltender honest. Like, if you can, again, there's people coming on you and chasing you down and trying to lift up your stick. I mean, we understand that. But when he came in and he split the D and he knew he had – the opportunity, if you watch the replay closely, he never stick handles. And I think that kept Allen guessing, and he could shoot it at any time, and he goes from 50 miles an hour to 15 and back to 30. All of a sudden he just got it and said, okay, I'm going to shoot now, and he has no idea I'm going to shoot the puck.
I thought
that was the most brilliant part of that play. Even the speed and picking it up, and let's give Puljujärvi a big assist there. I don't know if he got one or not. He took out Tatar, right? I mean, that was a heck of a play. But to split the D and then go in there and just have the patience to not stick handle, because I guarantee you, 99.8% of the players in the league would have stick handled at some point. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to score, but I just thought the patience that he had and the confidence that he had, it kept Allen guessing. And by the time he knew he was going to shoot the puck already hit the twine, and it was just a hell of a goal.
You wonder if you could ever equate, Eddie, the fear factor in superstar players, and you played with a bunch of them. How many times have you seen a guy like Mario take a shot where you're like, how the hell did that go in? Like, So it's like that shot was unbelievable and everything, but half the battle is won when he gets in alone and the goaltender, Allen's shorts were a different color, I guarantee, as soon as he saw him.
So that's half the battle.
It's like superstars, they do things obviously better than everybody else, but how many times, Edsel, you play with Mario, how many times would you see Mario just take a shot where you're like, what the hell was that? Why is that going in? There's got to be a fear factor and a different type of reaction. I mean, Jamie, you've played against these guys. You must have thought a little bit differently when Mario's coming on a breakaway than Hayes.
I hope so.
Yes.
All I know is that Brown Pants are on back order in Edmonton because, I mean, when he does come down the ice there, I mean, it is unbelievable. No, you make the right. I mean, you make the perfect point there. Is the release. Like some of these guys, I mean, I'm just thinking about guys like Steve Larmer, like one of the more underrated players ever to play in the National Hockey League. Like, he's a Hall of Famer. I don't care what anybody says. Like,
best guys ever, too.
Flat out all the best. You know, I mean, talking about smooth on the wall and moving the puck up. I mean, any defenseman knew is when Steve Larmer was on the ice and you were in your own zone, get it to Larmer and he'll get it out. I mean, he was that, but he could score. He could shoot the puck. Like, he would just, like, Larms would just have it, and then all of a sudden it'd go from the heel of the stick to the middle to the toe, and he could just, I mean, it was just absolutely incredible the way that he would be able to release the puck. And look at when I was in Toronto, and I was lucky enough to play on the line with Mark Osborne and Gary Lehman, and Screamo scored 50 goals that one year. Like Screamo could, like, he just had an ability to drift the puck, you know, like he would just get it and it would be in a shooting position, and he would let it go. And I think that's when you look at the great goal scorers of our time. I mean, look at, of all the years, but just guys had that ability, and you sit there and go, like, how did he let that go so quickly? And by the time the goaltender has a chance to react, it's already on top of him, and there's a pretty good chance it's going to end up in the back of the net. But I just thought that play by McDavid was just like I would put that on a VHS tape or a VCR, and I would show it to young hockey players and go, man, look at, you don't have to stick handle yourself in a submission. Just keep it honest, keep the goaltender guessing, and you could do whatever you want with that puck. So keep it in a shooting position, and, you know, he continues to amaze, and it was an outstanding goal.
Yeah, it really was incredible. I'm not even sure if it was a top three goal for him all year. That's the amazing thing about this guy and how well he's been playing. I mean, the guy, he is a triple crown caliber player, to put it lightly. He is Eddie Olchuk, one of our favorites, former NHLer, the NHL and NBC analyst, and he'll be at the Kentucky Derby next week. Check out his book as well, Eddie Olchuk, Beating the Odds in Hockey and in Life. It's always great having you on, buddy. We'll do it again down the road. Enjoy the show next week, and I'm sure we'll catch up before the Preakness.
Stay safe, guys. God bless. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. There he is, Eddie Olchuk.
He's the best.
He's so good. And he has to know what's going on now with, Noodles, you would know this.
I don't think he does. I honestly don't think he does. Like, I don't think – he doesn't seem like someone that would be, like, into our – like, the nuances of this show.
He doesn't live in
Toronto. I can't see him. He's a very well-respected man in the NHL. And that's not putting us down.
Well, so is Brian Burke. And Burke blatantly knew what he was doing when he was
there. I can't see somebody going up to Edzo and saying, you know, you got as soon as you – like, he respects the fact we played in the league. Yeah. And he's not afraid to mention it.
And Old Dog, you can relate to this because you were a great goal scorer.
Thank you.
And he respects what I used to remember about the old Norris division back in the early 80s.
Back in the early 80s, late 80s, Brian, you know this.
Do you remember that? Like, out of nowhere.
That was awesome. The one thing you have no idea about is the mid-80s Norris, and he just tossed it out there.
He gave you a Gino Retta. Wasn't it Gino that was like...
Maple Leaf Hayes. Gardens, no one's been there more than Brian Hayes. And he goes, Noodles, Old Dog, you guys would know about this. And he's like, what the hell are you talking about?
That was the best.
It's endless.
I will admit, Milan Lucic last time around knew about it.
He was aware of it.
He was aware of it. Somebody may have told him about it. He worked it into the conversation. But remember the first time he didn't know anything about it. He was rattled after. He sent a text saying, hey, I didn't realize to, you know, disrespect your host. That's what he said.
No, the best part is, man, it's great for us. Like, I don't take it that way at all. I find it hilarious. It's awesome. It's totally natural and genuine. I think you're probably right about Eddie. But we have him on a couple times a year. Few times a year, and he's just an affable guy. He's, you know, the beauty of a guy like Olchek is he comes on, he's just one of the boys. You know, he's the fourth guy. It's just like Ray. When Ray comes on, it's not a guest. It's like a fourth co-host, basically. He mentioned Steve Larmer. I just looked up his stats.
That guy could chew gum with the best of them.
Over a point a game, just over, but 1,006 games, he had 1,012 points. That is pretty incredible. Yeah, and he's, you know,
you're
great
telling me
Patrick
Marleau is going to go in the Hall of Fame before him?
Well, I would, yes, I think that's what I'm telling you, because I don't think Larmer's getting in now. He retired in 95. So,
dude, what are you talking about? Reggie Lemelin went in. Or
well, yeah, you're Rogie,
Rogie Vachon.
Yeah, Larmer could get in terms of that, like the dynasty clause or whatever they call
that's it. That's my only thing about the Hall of Fame. If you're going to Patrick Marleau, Hall of Famer, if you want to put him in, go ahead. But you better put in Keith Tkachuk. You better put in Steve Larmer. You better put in Jeremy Roenick. Like, those guys are Hall of Fame players.
Yeah, Larmer, yeah, he put up some massive numbers. He played with our buddy Steve Ludzik as well. Like, Ludzik's junior career, man, was he good. Like, that they were down in Niagara together, and Larmer had 117 points as an 18-year-old. Ludzik had 119 and two more than him. And as a 19-year-old, Ludzik had 142 points and 50 snipes.
Yeah, shout out to Ludzik, too.
Ludzik, we're always
Niagara
thinking
Force.
Of him.
Yeah,
we
love you,
Ludzik. He's grinding it out. He's such a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
Such a great guy. And they were both in Chicago together, which is my wheelhouse, the old Norris Division. I remember it. I remember it well.
You're very schooled.
In the early 80s, mid-80s, Brian, you know this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Denny Savard and Troy Murray and all the boys rolled through
Troy
town.
Troy Murray.
Sutter. Yeah, I remember it well. Al Secord.
Al Secord.
That guy was a monster.
We got to get to the catfish story. We'll do our best to try to lay it on the line here, let you basically inform the O-Dog based on what Noodles and I know about what happened here with the Lakers and all that. And the Leafs and Jays back in action tonight. We'll tee that up, too. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so allegedly there was a Lakers super fan that went by the name of Vivian.
Yep.
All right. And claimed to be, I believe, a podcast host and big Laker fan, but also let it be known via Twitter and social media she was suffering from cancer and recently disappeared. And I guess one guy in particular who I think lived in New York or something was connecting with her on Twitter to the point where he thought they were dating. You know, kind of a Manti Te'o's type of situation. And would ask for pictures, FaceTime, all that kind of stuff. Never happened. Never got on FaceTime.
This is a Laker player?
No. This is just some random guy online.
Oh, okay.
And some other guy online who claimed to have become friends with Vivian or whatever was the one that put it out there. Vivian has disappeared. Can you help me find her? We're looking all over L.A., blah, blah, blah. To the point where Ice Cube's son started tweeting about it. Kevin Durant got involved somehow.
Right.
And all these people were basically saying, like, hey, what's up with Vivian? Where's Vivian? To the point where it became spotlighted and highlighted. And then people realized the picture was like a bad Photoshop.
Yeah,
like it didn't look like a real person. And all of a sudden,
they went back like 11 or 12 years and found out this is like a former catfish account. And like the guy, correct me if I'm wrong, the guy who was like, hey, she's missing, they think it's him that had created all of this and then gave her cancer, killed her off, and then said, or tried to kill her off, and then brought her back, said, I found her, she's missing.
Right.
And people have found
out.
But he's
claiming innocence. He's saying it was not me. He's just some guy who fell for the trap. He's saying, listen, I'd rather be considered, you know, a buffoon here than someone that is being, you know, scandalous or whatever.
It's crazy.
It's really goofy. But, like, Durant, again, is somehow involved in this. Ice Cube's son.
This Durant can't help himself, eh?
He's in the middle of everything online. Anything that happens online. A catfishing scenario with the Lakers, and Durant is somehow involved. But
I don't know why this guy thinks he needs to stick his nose in everything.
He can't stop himself.
He's got the world. He's just got everything he needs, and he can't stop himself from being
really
a dummy online.
It's so weird.
Outrageous. Outrageous, this guy.
Catfishing, man. There is not a more 21st century story than a good old school catfishing.
Yeah.
And just if you get a guy who thinks he's got a read on, you know, a good-looking woman online, he'll fall into the trap. Like, that's just become clear. There's been too many examples of guys getting catfished.
It's crazy, though.
Yeah, it happens. And this one, again, involved the Lakers, and although they weren't directly involved, but it's a story that you know is going to pick up steam. Like, there's going to be documentaries on this at some point, and I would watch one. Like, the biggest catfishing schemes and what happened, what went into it, how it all fell apart. It's wild, man.
For sure. That Manti Te'o, though, that's still the most famous one, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. By far. Remember when that thing unraveled? Like, everyone was like, what is going on here? It's an All-American out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And
insane.
Anyway. So, Jay's in action tonight at Fenway, and the Leafs are in action tonight in Vancouver. So, we'll have a lot tomorrow, and we're looking forward to it. Good to have you guys back, as always. And enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We're out of here. We are back tomorrow at...
Mike Ditka never got catfished, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.